This is the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. Donal Cavanagh with you on the programme until 12 noon today. Now, an important thing happening on our Facebook page on this afternoon. This Thursday, October 3rd, which is today at 1 o'clock, we're bringing you Lunchtime Lives, coming to you live on Facebook from Callaghan's Electricals. We'll be talking all things home appliances, from energy-efficient washing appliances to the latest must-have kitchen gadgets. We want you to become involved. Feel free to send us your questions during that Facebook Live, and we'll answer them right on the Facebook page. Whether you're thinking of upgrading or just need some expert tips, we've got you covered. Just don't miss it. Join us this Thursday at 1 o'clock on Facebook for Highland Radio's Lunchtime Lives, coming to you live from Callaghan's Electricals. And any questions you have about home appliances or anything of that nature, you can get that on Facebook, and it's getting underway at 1 o'clock. And that's available, obviously, only on our Facebook page. It's not going to be on air, but it will be on Facebook, and it's a new service offered to you via our multimedia by Highland Radio. A number of your comments. Caller says, why don't they just abolish the standing charge for your electricity bill? Another caller says, why was the Apple money not used to reduce the overall debt of the country? Now, obviously, a lot of people have views on what should be done with the Apple money. And indeed, one of our local representatives, Councillor Joy Beard, a member of the 100% Redress Party representing South Inishowen, has sent in her thoughts via WhatsApp. So this is what Councillor Joy Beard has to say with regards to the €14 billion from Apple.
Good morning. It's Councillor Joy Beard. Just listening this morning to your guests about the $14.1 billion of Apple tax. Surely the best way to utilise that money is to make sure families are safe in their crumbling homes. We have families living in horrendous conditions, which are extremely unsafe and unhealthy. Our communities are in jeopardy from buildings that soon will not be able to be used and utilised. So this $14.1 billion that the government have, that they don't really want, surely the best place to put that money is to ending this humanitarian crisis and keeping people safe and ending this nightmare that has been ongoing for well over a decade. People's mental health is at an all-time low. People are worried about this impending winter. The homes are getting worse nearly week on week. So this money, it shouldn't even be questioned. It should be put into addressing this humanitarian crisis.
And that was Councillor Joy Beather who sent us that message via WhatsApp with regards to what should be done with those Apple billions. Now, teacher says, as a school, the tissue we dry our hands with, is it recyclable or do we have to bin it as it's wet? I'm not sure it's recyclable if it's wet. I think some of that tissue can be composted, but I'm not 100% on that, to be honest. But no, I don't think wet paper cannot go into a recycling bin, as far as I understand it. I think that the phrase they use is dry recyclables, and she did say that where possible, what goes into that bin should be dry. Caller says, the bus escort situation is national, not just Donegal. Norma Foley is the Minister for Education. The government doesn't care about these vulnerable children. I am disgusted. Another caller says, I have a child who travels to Letterkenny for a daycare centre. He has the free bus pass but cannot avail of that service because of his special needs requirements. I have to pay €5 a day for his transport. So what's the point of a free pass if it cannot be used on private routes, who, by the way, are the only way he can get around, as the public service does not meet his needs? I do know that some of the private services do accept bus passes, but my understanding is it's discretionary, and I suppose the real thing is check with each company. I know some of them do accept bus passes, others don't, and certainly I would double check with whatever company you are using. Can you ask the minister if his department can look into the young adult cards for students going to Northern Ireland? They have to pay full fees. Representations went into the Department of Transport, but to no avail, so says a caller. Greg, they forgot about pensioners in the budget. €12. How much heat would you get for that €12 increase to the pension there on a weekly basis? Another caller says the UN has shown itself to be a toothless organisation supported by the USA and all the other terrorist countries. Just a message from a Facebook post. €9 million has been allocated in the budget for the storage of mobile phones in secondary schools. Only teachers will be able to access the phones. Mobile phone use in schools does need to be tackled, but was this the best way to do it? That was one of the issues put up on a poll by the programme, and just a couple of the comments that came through on that. Caller says 100% everything sensible goes out the window. Silly things they can spend lots of money on. It's absolutely shocking. They always say no money for anything. I dread it when it's our turn for air to water, as it's more expensive than my oil. What is this world coming to? Another caller says it's been said this is happening for a number of reasons. Not all are good reasons. One being it's supposed to stop the kids recording anything that goes on in regards to the SPHE curriculum. If that's true, then it's a case of no proof, no problem, so says Regina. Naomi says, my daughter attends a local secondary school and they're not allowed their phones during school hours. If they're caught with their phone, it's confiscated for 28 to 48 hours. Can something like this not be implemented in all schools? Another caller says, is it April Fool's again? Noreen says, has to be Waterford Whispers. No, Noreen, it's not Waterford Whispers. It's very much government policy as articulated in the budget. Alicia says they're trying to take phones off our children to cover up the SPHE teaching in schools so that our children can't record what's really being taught. Why is there so much emphasis put on phones, not on what they're trying to push into teaching our children? Another caller says just ban phones in school. Simple. Doris says 4 years ago schools were a must-have. Phones were a must-have for schools. Now they don't want them in school, yet we have to pay for the pouches. Is there funding for them? Yet teachers are still sending work to the phone, more that the phones are not allowed. Another caller says, or just cover the running costs in schools and not have to depend on parent contributions and fundraising. Another caller says, you've got to be joking. Another caller, why is everyone surprised? Children's hospital, security hut, bike shed, not enough waste of taxpayers' money. On and on the train goes and nobody is stopping it. Another caller says, they're certainly not needed in a national school. Up to parents to not let them take their phones into school in the first place. Another caller says, this is a joke. We don't need our health, but they need phones. What a joke is this? That's just some of the comments. We'll keep that to one side, go back to more of those comments in a few moments. You'll have noticed in the comments about the article that went up on Facebook with regards to the €9 million on pouches for phones. A number of people in their comments there were speaking about SPHE and the government being afraid that mobile phones would record SPHE classes and that videos would be leaked and that the government's true intentions would become clear. Now, if you're wondering about that, that's actually happened to a certain extent. A video that was recorded, presumably surreptitiously, at an SPHE class has been doing the rounds on social media, and a number of people have expressed concern about it, not least Mary T. Sweeney, who is an ANTHU representative in Donegal and indeed the party's candidate for the constituency in the next general election. Mary T. Sweeney joins us on Zoom this morning. Mary T., good morning.
I spent a considerable amount of debating time in 2018 trying to get this message across to parents, and Greg was very helpful in allowing me on the airwaves at that time when I became aware of it. It was all being directed in from Europe. I would have to say through the WHO, the World Health Organization, they had made the approval listings of what was suitable. And we're here now, and it's elevating all the time. And I would have great concerns about what was being presented to children in schools from 12 to 15 years of age. You know, I'm urging all parents of young boys and girls to actually actively go into your school and look for the exact media content of the curriculum and the actual elements that they're going to, because different schools are opting for different books. So not all schools will be the same, and not all teachers will deliver it in the same manner.
In terms of this video that's been doing the rounds, for those who haven't seen it, describe, bearing in mind obviously the time and the public nature of the broadcast and so on, but describe what is in that video that has been doing the rounds.
The video at the moment is doing the rounds. I can't see you anymore, Donald, because I lost you there when I was turning off the radio. It was on mm-hmm. in the background. The video that was doing the rounds was explicit. It was, in many people's opinion, it was pornographic. The content that was being delivered, or the teachers were being asked to deliver in the revised curriculum for the junior cert. And in many occasions, in my opinion, and in others occasions, it would contravene the Children's Act of 2015. And it really didn't look after safeguarding for children. It was the opposite. There was a promotion of pornography, and that contravenes completely the idea of a safe environment for children. There was no... What's really at the base of this is when you see that in August 2024, the ASTI had to write to their school members and state that they believe no teacher should be assigned to teach this programme unless they wish and feel confident to teach it. Now, unless the teacher in the schools that knows the children feels, quote, confident to teach it. So that will explain how explicit the content is, all the different sexual permeations that you can get from every sort of coupling you can get, human couplings. We also have examples of, even in the books that I looked at last night, some of the books have, you know, a very explicit section on masturbation, and that's masturbation for your daughter and your son with graphic images. And they were animated images, but still graphic. And references in the book that I'm looking at to, you know, even the animals masturbate and a selection of animals photographed. Is that what we've resorted to? Is that what we're bringing children down to have a moral standing on, basing ourselves against the fact, okay, the animals do it, so, you know, let's do it wherever we want.
And it's your belief that this material is being used in classes in some of our schools?
Well, we knew back in 2018 there was a child very cutely and with wisdom photographed. There was a, I think it was 40 schools that were done. There was a pilot program on the west of Ireland at that time. Now, some of that came up into Donegal, because at that stage when I spoke to Greg, I had a mother in particular saying she wondered why her child started wetting the bed at 12 years of age. That never happened before, and she wouldn't talk about what was happening in school. And now we understand when we see the comments coming out about the class contract, and even that contract's in first year books currently in the county. And it's a very concerning aspect to have a contract with a child in a classroom that you don't discuss anything that's said in the class stays in the class. And I'm reading that out of the actual SPHE guideline for teachers. You know, that's what's recommended to promote. That's worrying. That's the opposite of what safeguarding a child was all about for me. You talk to your adults, you talk to your parents, you know, a responsible adult that you're relating to about what's going on in school or anything that's annoying you or disturbing you. And that's taken this in a whole new direction for me.
As we've seen in the comments to a poll that was put out on Facebook by Highland Radio, a number of people believe that linking into the proposed ban on mobile phones in secondary schools that's being promoted by Minister Norma Foley and others, part of the reason for that ban is to prevent material being recorded in classes, and specifically a number of people suggesting that what they want to do is protect SPHE material from being recorded and shown to parents, and to effectively prevent parents from finding out what's happening in classes. Do you share that view, that this is one of the reasons for the mobile phone ban as proposed?
Donald, listen, people didn't realise the extent that this, how well considered this is. This is not just the pornographic aspect of it. This is the whole ideology aspect of it. But even then in 2018, the recommendations that was coming through from the agenda that was being pushed was it was to permeate all aspects of school. So that is why I had one parent sent me the most fantastic explicitly sexual poem that her 15-year-old was doing. And it is really quite, if you're an adult and you want an explicitly sexual poem, fantastic. Or if you're a college student studying it. And all these students have to do a critical evaluation of the content of everything here. And they have to have class-based assessments. But this is permeating through all our subjects. It's your French, it's your German, the history, the stories. Look at the thematic content of the children's books. Now, one synopsis of one of the books that I looked at, it was every family, that the minority family was the heterosexual family. You know, this is unfair. I have friends who are gay are really unsettled by all of this. This is an ideology being pushed by a certain element that doesn't reflect all of society in any aspects. You know, whether you're gay or whether you're heterosexual, this is an ideology by a small number of people that have an awful lot of power, and they need to be stopped. And parents are so busy in their lives and they're, you know, getting homework done to actually engage in all this. And again, back in 2018, 19, around that time, we saw a covert video from a parent at one of the training schemes then, where one of the lecturers, the visiting lecturers, actually was advising the teachers how to deflect the parent that was going to be questioning and challenging And there was an actual, you know, element of teaching teachers how to deflect, you know, parents that wanted answers and didn't want this to continue.
I want to share a comment with you that's come in. Caller says, does anyone ever do their own research anymore? This is untrue. This training was extra training if you wanted to avail of it. It's not content given in a classroom, and I have asked several teachers on this. So the point being made by this caller is that the video as seen is not meant for classrooms. This is extra training for teachers. If teachers wish to avail of it, it's not meant for the classroom.
Lord bless Sir Witt, that's a very flippant comment for somebody that's not very well informed. And I have friends teaching. I was a teacher. I have friends still teaching in the schools, and some of them have used the comment to me, well, I just skip over the bits I'm not comfortable with, you know. And then there's other teachers that have gone and they have facilitators coming in from the outside. Now, we don't know who these facilitators are or what they're, you know, we're putting a lot of trust in these people coming in from the outside, facilitating this. Now, the course that was run here is run by EJA, which is funded by the Department of Education. And what really, when I did a bit of research on that, and I have plenty more research to do before the meeting this Wednesday night coming, I'm going to have a meeting about this in the station house. And if those people are thinking it's not right, come along and we'll show you the evidence. But the EJA group got $79 million in funding to support digital learning. And that's only part of a $200 million package they're getting up to 2027. Now, all of this stuff has online additional resources and toolkits that children can go on in and look at and get further information on. It's disturbing. It's concerning. Because of the morning and the hour it is, I wouldn't be comfortable. But if you want to go into the details of it and specific details, I can do that. But I'm strongly advising parents to please engage with your principals in the school. There was an agenda by the principals. They were encouraged to tell parents that they would have to come to the school, remove their child and bring them back to the school. I think you need to go to your board of management and ask the board of management to put specific formal structure in place to allow for parents to have children come out of those classes if they do not feel comfortable. And or if they don't feel comfortable, and the majority of people don't feel comfortable, then the class should be paused and let the people that do want to learn this take the book home with them and learn it at home.
We're getting a variety of comments. I'll just share some of them with you. One caller is saying any teacher teaching this should be placed on the sex offenders list. We need to make classes safe. Children should be allowed to film what teachers are exposing them to. Another caller says, well done, Mary T, for highlighting this awful sexual education. It's time, parents said no. On the other hand, a comment is a person saying, are we now saying that masturbation isn't happening? Is it not better to teach the children the rights and wrongs of all types of sex instead of living in the 1920s when the word sex was simply dirty? And is there a risk that we throw the baby out with the bathwater here in terms of that if we don't have sexual education in schools, we have people in schools and perhaps leaving schools that have an ill-considered, ill-formed and not properly thought out sense of sex and don't understand their own bodies, don't understand the world of relationships and are not maybe equipped to deal with life as an adult?
Well, I'm looking at the words that were Can I just remind you, Donald, these teachers were not geography teachers. These were seasoned, experienced SPHE teachers. I understand there was 34 of them in the room and they're being taken in groups to get the updated training. That's from the department's own website. I read that this is what IDGE does. They fund and facilitate the updating of all courses, including SPHE. And you can see that on their own website. Now, one of the photographs that this teacher took of inside the training session, these people weren't being trained to go out and work in Duffy Circus. They were being trained to go back in to do what they do, teaching SPHE. Now, some of the words, I didn't know what they were. Like the fisting, you know, the rimming, I didn't know. These are new words for me. Mutual masturbation. Now, this is all what I would call whether or not it's age appropriate. Now, I sadly think of the Elaine O'Hara case and, you know, the fetish, the bondage, that lady that was murdered, that had this online fetish sexual group that she was involved with. You know, if you're into that, then that's good for you. If you're an adult and you're over 18 and you feel it's safe with like-minded people. Not everybody feels that's a safe way to promote sex. So there are different types of acceptable ways of promoting what is acceptable at a certain age. And we're talking 12 to 15 year old students here. Now, is fisting something that you think would be suitable for a 12 to 15 year old? I had to look at it. I had to inquire about it myself. Sex for pleasure without any moral compass or due regard to the safety of the child, and most definitely doing the sex without shame or moral code. Well, I think the word that's really missing in that is the emotional attachment when people become sexually involved. And Donegal is a county that's seen more than its fair share of children committing suicide and mental health issues and programmes. And I am really, really concerned at this element of graphic content going out to 12 to 15 year olds. And I think it's actually, you know, when you see the ASTI, take that as the ground rule here. Let me just, in no circumstances should a teacher be assigned, and I'm quoting, to teach the programme without full and comprehensive training. So these SPHT teachers were on the programme to give them full and comprehensive training. Nobody can say any different to that. It is funded by the Department of Education. It was an IDGE course they were attending, and they were SPHE. They were all SPHE teachers. They weren't, as I say, French or art and design teachers. So they also got a letter to the management on the 43/2018, which outlined the best practice guidance for schools and the use of external facilitators. Who are these external facilitators coming into our schools? Who do we trust to come in to teach our children how to master it from 12 to 15 and to discuss it in groups and be assessed on it? Now, the class-based assessment is another thing. And when I think of the children, like, I was lucky that in the sense I did do a bit of teaching in secondary schools, but it was more subbing. I was third level. So there were 17, 18 coming in. And we did things like life drawing, nude life drawing. And, you know, you find your level of comfort in dealing with things as children do it for the first time. I'm not prudish, but I'll tell you what, I'm very concerned about what some people in this society are looking to push into our schools and into our children's minds to consider what is norm.
And those concerns are being discussed, as you said, at a public meeting that's taking place on Wednesday of next week. That's Wednesday, October 9th. And just remind us again, the Station House Hotel.
Thank you very much, Donald.
So the Station House Hotel next Wednesday, that's the 9th of October, 7 o'clock, and that meeting being facilitated by Mary T and others. For the moment, Mary T Sweeney, into candidate. Thank you very much indeed. Well, earlier we spoke to the Minister of State for Transport, Minister James Lawless, and we discussed how the Apple money should be spent. And I did say to the minister in the course of that conversation that the Into the West campaign was seeking to have that money invested in rail and specifically in the restoration of rail services to Donegal. The minister said it's one of the issues that he and others will be looking at. So I did say the Steve Bradley, the chair of Into the West, is joining us on Zoom. Steve, good morning to you.
Good morning, Donal.
Steve, again, you, like many others, are putting forward your view on what this, I beg your pardon, on what this Apple money should be spent on. And the argument that's being made by everyone, I think, and you'll be no different in this, we're always told these big projects can't be done because the money isn't there. Now we have this extra 14 billion that wasn't anticipated, that wasn't expected. It must be used for something big, and what bigger than the restoration of rail?
Absolutely, Donal. Firstly, it's important to acknowledge that it's actually 17.1 billion, because on top of the 14.1 billion from Apple, there's 3 billion that the state expects to get from the sale of the AIB shares. And it was clarified in the budget that that money will go towards infrastructure. So there's a very large sum of money there to do something with. We know that Donegal's the forgotten county. We know that it's very disconnected from the rest of the island in every way. We know that it's been 60 years since Donegal last had rail. It's been 71 years since a train pulled it out of Letterkenny. So there really needs to be something solid, and I would say quite a few solid infrastructure proposals from this money for Donegal. Restoring rail to Letterkenny was approved in the All Island Rail Strategy. So it's no longer a crazy fringe idea. It's been accepted in an approved government document. So it's a case of when do we get rail back to Donegal and no longer a case of if. So what we're saying is it's only 35 kilometres between Letterkenny and Derry. The plan at the moment off the back of the All Island Rail Strategy is to give rail back to Letterkenny, but only after the route between Derry and Portadown has been reopened, because that would then create a direct route all the way to Dublin. The problem with that is it puts Donegal's rail future in the hands of Stormont, And no disrespect to Stormont, but we've seen that it's, you know, it's politically unstable, it's financially restricted, it's indecisive strategically. And I think it would be really unwise for the county and for the state to place the future of rail in Donegal at the hands of Stormont. So that's why we're saying the money is there now. Let's get ahead and do the when now, not later.
As I understand it, then what they're talking about effectively, as you said, and this is something that was actually backed, as I recall, by Transport Minister Eamon Ryan as well, that he was speaking very much about the Derry to Portadown link. As I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, the Derry to Portadown link would go via Strabane, and the plan is that there would then be a link from Letterkenny to Strabane, and that would be the connection. There wouldn't be a direct Letterkenny-Derry link going via Newton Manor Cunningham. That what they're talking about in that rail review is Derry to Portadown and then a spur into Donegal from Strabane or close to it.
Well, I'm not sure that's correct, Donal. There's no clarity in the All-Ireland Rail strategy of where exactly Letterkenny should be connected into the Derry Portadown route. All that is in there is a map showing that it should be just to the south of Derry. And this needs to be looked at in some detail. The Northern Irish government got some funding from London for a feasibility study into Derry Portadown, and it will presumably look at this issue. There needs to be a similar feasibility study started right now on taking rail from Letterkenny onto that Derry Portadown route, because there's no point looking at it just from a northern perspective. It needs to be done from an all-island perspective. So we'd say that shared island funding should be provided right away for a Derry-Letterkenny feasibility study, if I can run alongside the Derry-Portadown one, and let's look at the easiest and best way to connect the two. But the key point would be this, Donal. The two largest population centres in the entire northwestern corner of the island and in the northwest city region are Derry and Letterkenny. Derry by far having the largest population, 105,000 people. There is no way you can't have those two towns directly connected by rail.
Do you believe the demand is there that if, however many billion it takes, if that Letterkenny to Derry rail line is restored and there is a service linking the two, that there'll be sufficient demand for that service to operate and to make sense?
Absolutely, Donal. We know from the census that despite the fact that most of the population on this island is on the Belfast to Dublin corridor, despite the fact that that's where most of the economic activity takes place, actually the part of the border which has the largest cross-border commutes is between northeast Donegal and Derry. 38% of all daily cross-border journeys, over a third of all daily cross-border journeys are in that corridor. Yet at the moment, the vast majority of them take place by car because the bus doesn't really work as a viable alternative, and there's no rail. So there's already more people crossing the border between Derry and Donegal than there is on that corridor between Belfast and Dublin every single day. Yet where is all the investment happening? They're pouring millions, hundreds of millions, into the Belfast to Dublin rail route. We're saying it's about time we had some of that money spent in our area of the Northwest. And we have a superb opportunity right now with the Apple funding to do that.
There is a major review of transport taking place at the moment in Derry, looking at the transport needs of Derry City and Strabane District Council District and also the wider northwest area. Now, one of the questions is, can you discuss the transport needs of Derry City and Strabane without reference to Donegal, without reference to cross-border links? And it's unsure exactly to what extent cross-border links are being considered in that overall plan. But that is an opportunity, it would appear, to make sure that there is some reference to the cross-border and to Donegal in particular in that particular review.
Yeah, that the Northwest Transport Plan, it's very localised. It's not actually discussing rail at all. It's very much about how you get people around once they're in Derry. There is a regional transport plan, which means the whole of Northern Ireland, which is also being developed. And that's the opportunity to look at the cross-border links. And you're absolutely right there, Donal. We need to really ensure that how you integrate and where you integrate the railway line from Letterkenny in towards Derry is factored in. This idea that you can just do a study on Derry Portadown and pretend that the rail strategy didn't recommend Letterkenny as well, you know, that makes no sense, especially again when the highest concentration of daily cross-border commutes is between Donegal and Derry.
I'm at this radio station 34 years, Steve, and for as long as I've been here, the restore a rail link to Donegal and the link Letterkenny and Derry by rail debate has been going on. It's been going on well over 30 years, and I've no doubt that debate was going along long before I ever moved up here and started work on Highland Radio. I'm here since 1990. given that we've been having the debate for 34 years, given that we have notionally access to this 17 plus billion euro, given that we have a strategic All-Ireland Rail review, albeit, and as Minister Lullis pointed out when we spoke to him this morning, he said, well, it is a 25-year plan. So he certainly wasn't giving any hope that anything would be done in it in the short term and even the medium term. Are you more or less confident now than you were when you first got involved in this campaign to push the campaign for rail forward?
I share your frustrations, and I share the frustrations of the people of Donegal about all of this. But Donal, I'm significantly more confident now than I ever have been. As I said, it's no longer a case of if rail will return to Donegal. It's now a case of when, because a number of key things have changed. Firstly, we now have for the first time a government strategy which says rail should return to Donegal. So that's in the bank. So it's no longer a crazy idea. It's been endorsed by this government. Secondly, we know that we have the climate crisis, and we know that there's a move to get people out of their private vehicles. And to do that, we have to provide viable alternatives. We have to give people the choice. Thirdly, we know that Letterkenny is growing very fast. It's growing at twice the rate of the rest of the country. It grew by 17% between 2016 and 2022, and it's expected to grow by 40% by 2040. So it's a fast-growing gateway town. It's struggling. Anybody who drives through Letterkenny or tries to drive through Letterkenny between about 4 and 6 o'clock can tell you that town cannot cope with the volume of traffic in there. There's talk about bridges over the Swilly and everything else, but history tells us if you build more and bigger roads, you just get more and bigger traffic. We have to give the people of Donegal a viable alternative to get around the region and to get across the island. And what has changed is that all the proverbial ducks are now in a row with a government strategy, with funding available to deliver that, with the political will in place, and with the need being highest now for Letterkenny to have rail than it ever has been.
Steve Radley of Into the West, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Donal.
It's the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio. 11 minutes to 11. Going to take a short break. Back after these.
Are you tired of living with knee pain? Say goodbye to discomfort and hello to a brighter future with robotic-assisted knee replacement surgery at Kingsbridge Northwest. Don't let knee pain hold you back any longer. Experience faster recovery times and improved outcomes. Visit kingsbridgeprivatehospital.com/northwest to schedule your consultation today. Kingsbridge Northwest, where innovation meets excellence in orthopaedic care.
Attention Donegal, Derry and Tyrone. Heady Bathrooms and Tiles are proud to unveil our newest and most stunning showroom in Lisfannan Business Park, Buncrana. Located right opposite the Northwest Golf Course, we offer unbeatable quality and incredible value. For 30 years, we've been the experts in total refits, stocking and serving as the sole agent for many top brands. Visit us today and transform your space with the finest bathroom and tile solutions. Telephone 93 95 884. Heady Bathrooms and Tiles, where excellence meets value. Lisfannan Business Park, Buncrana, F93H10F.
Sometimes getting older is a good thing. Take a fine cheese. With steady planning, careful preparation and trusted guidance, at every stage of the process, it matures. At Standard Life, we believe in a similar approach when planning for retirement. Because when you do, things get better with age. Search Retirement Hub or talk to your financial advisor today. Standard Life International DAC is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Are you completing your UCAS application? CAFRI offers degree courses in food, agriculture, equine and horticulture. Come along to CAFRI's October Open Days. Talk to students, meet staff and explore the practical facilities at Northern Ireland's specialist agri-food and land-based college. Book now to attend an open day at Greenmount Campus, Enniskillen Campus and Lochry Campus. Register online at cafre.ac.uk or visit Discover CAFRI on Facebook.
Join me, Marty Friel, this and every Friday night from 8 for Rocking Hits on Highland Radio in association with Arena 7 Letterkenny. If you're celebrating a birthday or a work night out, Arena 7 Entertainment Complex has it all. Check out arena7.ie.
It's the Lines of Nuncho on Highland Radio. Just want to remind you that we have a competition. Some great prizes from Green Shoes. They have stores in Letterkenny, Falcarra, Limerick and Galway, and also available online at greensshoes.com. That's G-R-E-E-N-E-S-S-H-O-E-S. It's a double S in the middle. Today's prize is a pair of Skechers. We're going to give you the opening line of a well-known song, and we just want you to text us the name of the song and also, of course, your name. And you can text or WhatsApp your answer to 086 60 25,000. Also, of course, letting us know who you are and where you are. And today's first line, I made it through the wilderness. Somehow I made it through. Very well-known song. I have no doubt many, many people are getting it right. And if anyone needs me to sing it for you, I can. But I think we can spare you that particular pain. There's no need for that. Also, just reminding you again that we have a special presentation on Facebook at lunchtime. It's October 3rd. It's Thursday. It's 1 o'clock. We bring you Lunchtime Lives, which will come to you live from Callaghan's Electrical. We'll be talking all things home appliances, from energy efficient washing appliances to the latest must-have kitchen gadgets. We want you to get involved. Feel free to send us your questions during the Facebook Live and we'll answer them right there and then. Whether you're thinking of upgrading or just need some expert tips, we've got you covered. So it's this Thursday. It's coming live from Callaghan's Electrical in Inishowen. It's I'm not sure if it's the Inishowen premises, actually, or the Letterkenny premises. Scratch that. It's coming to you from Callaghan's anyway. They have two. They have two premises, one near Burton and one in Letterkenny. So whichever one is coming from, we're going to have the experts online and they'll be able to answer your questions. So whatever your questions about appliances are, that might be the place to put that forward. So that's happening today on Facebook only at 1 o'clock. It's not going out on air. It's only happening, as we say, on Facebook. Just a few comments that have come into us and a lot of reaction to Mary T. Sweeney. Caller says, Mary T. is enraging me. She mentioned that she's worried about safeguarding. You don't want children to tell parents but what their friends say. You're allowed to tell what happened at school. Just not break the confidence of a child. Children who know more about their own bodies and sexuality do better in life and relationships when they are in them. From a very concerned parent whose children have been educated at home, I am a sexual educator. Parents are just frightened and frigid. It's very important to educate children. Studies have shown the more children are educated, the safer they are. Another caller asking, could you ask that lady the website? I can get the content she is referencing. I'd like to inform myself with the real information. The only website I can recall Mary T. Sweeney referencing was the Department of Education's own website. Another caller says, I totally agree with Mary T. As a granny, I'll be attending that meeting. I appreciate things are different these days, but on no level is this acceptable. Another parent saying, I've spoken to several parents and others who are not aware of this content. They're in total disbelief. We must all unite against these ideologies to save our children. For me, it's no wonder we have so many mental health issues. Another parent asking, if it's true, you can ask that your child not be put into that class, and you can write to the school principal stating the same. The school can be sued, therefore, if the child is put in the class. That's a query from a caller. Another caller says, while most people believe that LGBTQ ideology is an acceptable, colourful, equal rights expression, behind the flag waving, there are architects who are sexualising children in a global way. And when are teachers going to be banned from using their mobile phones in school? That's being asked by one of our callers as well. Now, we'll go back to that poll. We just referenced that we had an online poll where that whole issue of the €9 million on pouches for phones was raised. And a number of the responses to that particular poll coming in. Caller said, €9 million wasted. Correct me if I'm wrong, but parents should make sure their children aren't taking a school phone to school in the first place. This is shocking. Another parent says, what's wrong with any ordinary container to store the phones, and that €9 million could be spent more wisely? An absolute waste of money. Holy God, we've heard it all now. John says, what's wrong? You could wonder who made these decisions. €9 million for the storage of phones. Well, the cost of living when you factor in planning, engineer's report, health and safety risk assessment, storage boxes, security team, security guard to supervise, it's not a bad price. And a little smiley face emoji beside that. Another caller said, I hope this is not a true story. Would they be that stupid? Yes. Another caller says, and €10 million for healing heating the schools. Mom, I was freezing in school today. I know some, but at least your phone has a nice case. It makes no sense at all. Mary says, absolutely ridiculous. Children should be told to leave the phones at home. No wonder the country's the way it is. Again, number of people saying, just leave the phone at home. Another caller saying, tell them to leave the phones at home. Put the €9 million toward the defective block homes. Another caller said the money could have been directed to carers, disabled people and people suffering from depression and serious illness. Again, Sally's saying with bicycle shelters and other projects, they've wasted thousands. Why not waste another 9 million on phone storage in schools? And that's being echoed by a number of people. Must be a late April Fool's story. Must be a very big storage box. Is this a joke? It has to be a joke. Who are the people that signed off on this? Well, it's being suggested by the Minister for Education and is provided for in the budget. This has got to be a joke, caller says. It's really a case of the lunatics running the asylum. And that's the flavour of what's coming through on those comments. And certainly that's what we're hearing from our callers. A caller says, I know some pensioners that aren't spending their money at all. €300 a week and he has difficulty spending it. Another caller says, a rail into Letterkenny. Surely that's the only town in Donegal that matters. It's far more important to have rail into the west of the county. And again, back to the Mary T story. Brilliant Mary T. About time this was out in the open. Highland Radio is always promoting the LGBTQ plus agenda. Another caller says, the question I ask is, who are the people pushing this agenda? How does this help young children? Most good people aren't in favour of this explicit material being pushed onto their innocent young children without their consent. This is our wonderful government allowing this to happen. By the way, this was in place before Simon Harris took over. Well done, Mary T. And again, thank you, Mary T, for making all parents aware of what's happening in our schools. A lot of people aren't aware of it at all. And we can't just sit back and not speak up.